Recently, Brigham and Women's Hospital here in Boston announced it had approved a rare, still experimental, double arm transplant for Will Lautzenheiser. Will is a film scholar, a former teaching assistant to Saul Bellow, and then a teacher himself at Boston University. 3 years ago, at 34, he just started a job teaching film at Montana State University when he suddenly lost both arms and legs to a vicious Group A streptococcal infection, surgeons racing ahead of the bacteria as it blackened and killed his limbs. Now he waits to get two new arms from someone else, working on a documentary about his ordeal and taking up some new hobbies, as we heard when we visited recently at his apartment in Brookline, Massachusetts.
Hello?
Hello? We were prepared to see Will in his wheelchair, stump extended for a handshake.
Hi.
You must be Will.
This is Tom, my
Hi,
brother.
Tom.
What was jarring was seeing, standing next to him, his identical twin, Tom.
Thanks for coming.
This is a story about Will Lautzenheiser, but it's also a story about the people who love him, his twin, Tom, his partner of only 5 years, Angel Gonzalez.
My partner, Angel.
Hi, nice to see you.
Nice to see you. He's my main support.
Your angel.
Yeah, you know, not to put too
much. I mean, in some ways, I think we're both growing in a way that we didn't expect to. I myself just sort of, I had two options. I could run away, or I could face the challenge and kind of let go of any fear that I might have about what our future would have been or is becoming.
Angel, Tom, and I sat down to hear Will talk about what that future might hold.
Where are you in your storyline now? You're a filmmaker. Where are you in the arc of your story?
I'm not sure that I've figured out the story yet, to be honest with you. We're in the middle of the second act, I suppose. The first act was my illness and becoming an amputee and trying to figure out how to proceed in life that way. And trying to make the decision, I think, to be positive about some of these experiences and to turn it into, as much as I could, a creative process. For example, with comedy and so on. So
we'll hold up there for a second, because I understand you actually have been doing some, I don't know how else to say it, stand-up comedy?
Mm-hmm. I think people with disabilities who are in wheelchairs often call it sit-down comedy instead of stand-up. But so yeah, I've been doing a lot of sit-down comedy. For our last act, I got pushed over, so it was actually crawling on the stage comedy.
What was that, by design, by plan?
Yeah, that was the sketch. The theme of the evening was achievement, and so we had my friend come out and say that he thought it was too easy for me to be walking on the stage with my prostheses, so he pushed me down and stole my wallet, so that I had to try to rescue it. So I crawled across the stage, and of course I failed in getting my wallet because it was impossible.
You're looking at your brother Tom. Was he always like this?
No.
Someone said that this was, in a way, the apotheosis of my kind of gallows humor that I've always had. You know, in fact, abuse against disabled people is a real horrible subject that people face all the time.
Give me some of the one or two of the lines. We'll be your audience.
Well, through this process, I have gotten rid of a lot of bad habits. So I got off morphine, methadone, oxycodone, OxyContin, fentanyl, and Special K, that is ketamine. And I've stopped biting my nails. Cold turkey.
That's terrible.
But you're laughing. People catch themselves all the time now. So I had a therapist say to me that we're crossing our fingers. And then, you know, of course, she did a double take and said, and our thoughts and our minds. And bad save, that doesn't work. But, you know, a therapist came in and said, you know, this experience has been really traumatic. Do you feel depressed about it? I said, yeah, it makes me feel like slitting my wrist. Not the best thing to say to a therapist. But, you know, I mean, you have to laugh at these things because otherwise you just weep all the time.
And you did weep when you were in the hospital and woke up and saw what had happened.
Yeah, it was a very confusing time, this spectrum of hallucination that I was on. And I wasn't actually sure whether I had lost my limbs or not, even after they were gone. It was maddening, actually. I made a vow early on to be the best patient I possibly could be. I just said, I'm going to treat everyone around me as a human being because I knew that I was there for the long haul.
I think I'd wake up every day thinking, what?
Oh, for sure. Completely surreal. But for me, in some way, that absurdity lends it an element of comedy.
Do you still dream of yourself as whole?
In my dreams, I always am still intact. I still see my hands and my legs all the time. But there is usually a kind of shadow along with that, that I might be walking along and I might say to my dream companion, oh, but I can't walk. Oh, but I can't do that thing. In my real life, I feel relatively whole now. I'm thinking about this upcoming surgery not so much as a way to be made whole again, but as a way to be a lot more independent than I am now.
You've gotten to a new normal that, yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yes. You know, it's something I still struggle with, but it feels like my identity, so it's okay.
Have I got this right? Thinking about films and having images from films helped you?
Oh, absolutely. The whole, my recovery process was helped by art in general. Purcell's Dido and Aeneas, particularly Dido's lament and her aria, When I Am Laid in Earth, which is incredibly beautiful and incredibly poignant when you're on the brink of death.
Jesse Norman singing Dido's Lament from Henry Purcell's opera Dido and Aeneas. Again, some of the music that helped Will Lotzenheiser survive the loss of all four limbs after a ferocious group A streptococcal infection 3 years ago. Also invaluable, his partner Angel Gonzalez, his identical twin brother Tom. Now they'll help him through a double arm transplant. Stay with us. You're listening to Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software. MathWorks, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
It's Here and Now, and we've been sharing our visit with Will Lotzenheiser, a quadruple amputee who lost all his limbs 3 years ago to a ferocious group A streptococcal infection. Will taught film at Boston University and Montana State. He's working on a documentary about his life as he awaits a donor for the rare double arm transplant just okayed by the Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston.
It would be my pleasure to get you water.
Well, actually, I could use it right now. Will is decidedly upbeat. From his wheelchair, he used the stumps of his arms to hold a glass to a refrigerator water dispenser for me. He's taken up stand-up comedy.
Sometimes I feel like I want to embellish what happened just to make it interesting for me. So I say, this arm was bitten off by a shark when I was surfing. This leg, I got stuck in an elevator door. This arm, I had to eat off that time I was stuck in a mine. And this leg, I lost when I went back to kick the shark that bit my arm off.
As we talked, I couldn't help but notice his identical twin, Tom, looked shattered. We start with him. It's such an odd thing, I would think. It's a brother who you love, but it's also a brother who for years was a mirror, but now the mirror's, you know, it's not.
Yeah, you said it.
Huh? Oh, wait, I shouldn't have said it. Would you say it?
Will's transition was a loss of identity or a shattering of identity for him, but also for me in that, you know, I always thought of Will as like myself who had different experiences, but we were always very, very much together, and to have him so radically changed in this traumatic way was shocking for me. And I think I'm still, some of the trauma that I saw, I think I probably was taking on a little too much at that point.
Well, that's understandable. It's a brother that you not only love, it's that twin relationship that nobody understands, and it's sort of seeing yourself go through it.
Yeah. You know, he is living with this daily new normal. For myself, it's been a harder transition, I think, to have him be disabled.
You know, I was thinking that the harder thing would be for the disabled twin to see the twin with the limbs, but I'm realizing that it's equally hard for Tom to see the mirror without the limbs.
Oh, yeah. There were moments in the hospital where if people knew maybe on paper that I was a twin brother but hadn't met my brother yet, they thought they'd seen a ghost. So Tom was standing over my bed one day, and the night nurse just had to do a double take.
Oh, my gosh, she thought you'd gotten up.
She thought that he was me and that somehow there's some weird thing had happened. I had friends who had never met Tom see him stepping out of my hospital room, and they just had to, you know, stop in the corridor and lean against the wall.
Wow. Whoa. But I'm wondering if it's hard for you to constantly see the way you used to look. It is like, I mean, it's one thing for your friends to see it and almost faint, but you see it and are reminded of something.
Yes, but, you know, the fact is that this happened to me, and I have to, you know, accept that instead of dwelling on the things that I don't have anymore.
How did your love of film help? Because there were, like, phantasmagoric scenes in movies that helped you through some of the...
They both helped and tormented me, because I felt that I was watching the greatest movie ever in the history of movies, and it had characters who were unbelievably compelling and problems that were unbelievably suspenseful. And
is this in your drug haze?
In my drug haze. Yeah. And I thought, what is this movie? It is so amazing. The cinematography was so beautiful. It was easily the best movie I'd ever seen in my life. And I thought, who directed this movie? I can't believe that I'd never seen it before. And I was watching the ending credits for the movie, and the director was me. I directed it. And it was like, where the heck did this movie come from? That I made this movie that was so good and so beautiful and so powerful, and no one saw it except for me.
Well, you got to make that movie someday.
I know, if I could only remember what it was.
The transplants for your arms. How do you approach that?
It's going to be a real challenge. I will be 100% dependent again. Someone is going to have to help me every day, at least at first, from 7 in the morning to 11 at night on the hour, passive exercises that I can't do.
Well, Tom, I'm wondering, how do you feel about your brother having someone else's arms, this transplant?
And this is grim to think about, but somewhere out there living right now is someone whose limbs are going to end up being attached to Will's body and will become, you know, part of his body. Difficult to talk about because this is somebody else's life that will be coming to an end. But sure, Will will be different, farther away from what we had been before this happened. But Will was telling me this story of the soldier who lost his limbs, and he was doing pull-ups with his arms. Essentially, these devices were allowing him to grasp the pull-up bar, and, you know, whatever the arms look like, I mean, if they're tattooed all over or what, you know, I would wish the same for Will. You know, this was a disaster that was visited on not just me, but on basically everyone around me. So I feel like I'm standing on top of a pyramid, and all the attention might be on me, and there's this huge base below me that's made up of all these people who have been affected. And this surgery that I'll be going through for the arm transplants, again, I won't be putting just myself through it, but I'm putting, again, a whole team through it as well. And of course, my brother will have to endure the sight of me going through surgery, and the stresses that it will put on Angel are huge, because we live together and he's going to be on the front lines of this all the time. I can't claim that it's going to be an easy process. I think all of us hope that at the end it's going to be worth it. We'll find out.
Wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. My gosh, thank you.
Will Lautenheiser, a quadruple amputee awaiting a double arm transplant. We also spoke with his identical twin, Tom, and his partner, Angel Gonzalez. And we closed the way Will would want us to, with another joke. When he was intubated and couldn't talk, he was trying to tell Tom and Angel to bring him music.
The other piece of music was one of the four last songs by Strauss, and I somehow communicated that I wanted to listen to Strauss. And what they brought up was one of Johann Strauss's waltzes, like the Blue Danube, and not Richard Strauss with the four last songs. And, you know, I like the waltzes, but that wasn't at all what I wanted to listen to. It was like, what is this?
This is the healing Strauss he wanted from Four Last Songs, sung by Elizabeth Schwarzkopf. Jeremy, a little classical music humor there. Mm. And look, being a quad is unbelievably expensive. We'll link you to the Will Lautenheiser Fund at hereandnow.org.
What a story. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from the Institute of Contemporary Art with Jim Hodges. The show features mirror mosaics, walls of flowers, and denim tapestry, now on view, ICABoston.org.